WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
At the beginning of each year, rock historian Ed Ward likes to look back to earlier decades. So now Ed takes us back 40 years to 1953, when rock and roll was just a few hits away.
Getting kind of mad. I had a lot to look, but it's all been bad. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
1953 certainly didn't start out looking like a banner year for American popular music. Hank Williams, the singer and songwriter whose work had revitalized country music and had even been covered by pop artists, fulfilled the promise he made in the song that was number one on the country charts at the start of the year. On his way to play a New Year's show in Canton, Ohio, debilitated by drugs and alcohol, he died in the backseat of his limousine. He left a gaping hole in country music that would take a couple of years to fill, although he also thoughtfully left several more hit records, including his best-known hit, Your Cheatin' Heart, unreleased at the time of his death. No, for signs of hope in popular music in 1953, we have to turn to the field of rhythm and blues. There, some of the roots of the rock and roll revolution that was just a few months away were beginning to show.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, been snooping around my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, been snooping around my door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
Willie Mae Thornton's hit, written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, two Jewish high school students in Los Angeles, was important for several reasons. Not only did it wind up in the impressive record collection of young Elvis Presley, but it gave birth to Sun, the record company that he would record for next year. This was their first big hit.
You know what you said about me, don't you, woman? Well, you ain't nothing but a bearcat. Been scratching at my door.
Rufus Thomas's Bearcat was even labeled the answer to Hound Dog on the record. And not only did it sell well enough to launch Sun Records, it prompted a lawsuit from Lieber and Stoller charging copyright infringement, a suit they won. But Rufus Thomas was already a legendary disc jockey in Memphis, and Sam Phillips, who owned Sun, made enough money on it to firmly establish the label. Looking at 1953's rhythm and blues top sellers today, it's obvious that a corner was being turned. Half of the chart is down-home, old-fashioned blues by B.B. King, Little Walter, Eddie Boyd, and Willie Maybon, while the rest is quite sophisticated urban stuff. Old-style jump blues by Amos Milburn and Big Joe Turner was still around, but there was something new, groups.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let him ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window and peeked through the blind and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said, "But honey, yes, but honey."
The year's best-selling rhythm and blues single was Money Honey by Clyde McFadder and the Drifters. And although McFadder was right up front, the song was clearly a group effort. In fact, McFadder also charted in 1953 with the group he'd just been fired from, with a record that is one of the most harrowing listening experiences in rock and roll.
Brothers and sisters, we are gathered here.
Oh, 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 oh.
Therefore, black horses with eyes of flame red, their roses tied with ribbons all around my baby's head. The bells are ringing, and they say, I'll go and see.
The wail of grief that ends this record has to be heard to be believed. This was also the year the Orioles broke out with Crying in the Chapel, which put them on the pop charts, and another important group, the Clovers, hit with Good Lovin'. But the group that was the most important from a historical perspective was the Five Royales, the group that would be one of the most influential bridges from the old R&B style to soul music by the end of the decade. And in 1953, they had two hits, Too Much Lovin' and Baby Don't Do It. Solo artists, too, were beginning to change the sound of black music. Although the year's biggest was Faye Adams with Shake a Hand, Ray Charles had just been signed to Atlantic, where he was beginning to invent soul music. Little Richard was making his first recordings in a restrained blues style. And in New York, the big news was Ruth Brown.
Well, young men like to have a good time.
And that August, young Elvis Presley finally got up the courage to walk into the Memphis Recording Service and make a record for his mother. On his next trip there, he'd change the world.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.